Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the grace and privilege of being here again. We have all heard the greetings, and also that some people are not doing so well. A sign that these earthly bodies are not destined to remain forever, but that we are awaiting a new body that can no longer grow old or become ill. There will be no more suffering, no more tears, no more death. But as believers, we feel that this death is something quite evil, and we wish it were no longer here. How will we all feel when the word is fulfilled? Now, death is swallowed up in victory. And as it says in Revelation, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. I think I should also give you warm greetings from Brother and Sister Rus. They are in a neighboring eastern country for a few days. And we want to remember them, that the Lord blesses them and is with them. You all know how we feel. When someone is missing, that's just the way it is. And you don't see everyone who is here. You see the one or the ones who are not here. That's how I feel. I don't see you who are here. I see those who are not here. It's a paradox, but it shows the connection, the intimate love of God that binds us together. And that's how it should be. We had a lot on the program in Zurich at the weekend. The obituary for Brother Furrer, who has gone home. Then we had a wedding ceremony. Then we had blessing of children. Then we had a baptism. And we were particularly pleased about one sister. They were both here last time, the brother and his wife. And his wife was so against the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. But she came along to the service. And before the meeting, the brother said, with trembling and tears in his eyes, I have to go into the watery grave of baptism alone. My wife won't go with me. Remember me. And I took that to heart, but I really took it to heart. And I thought to myself, Lord, you have seen this brother. You know what he means. You can direct hearts like rivers of water. And we all went to the baptism, and he knew nothing. Maybe she didn't either. But suddenly she also came dressed in white to be baptized. It was a marvelous blessing, a visible response from God, and we were grateful for it. We long to experience the presence of God. We read it again in the psalm. In Judah is God known. But not only is he omnipresent, he is also omnipotent. He is to reveal his power and glory. And that is how he became known. The beauty of the entire Old Testament was that God was not preached, but that God revealed himself, that he made promises, fulfilled them, performed great signs and wonders, and that these people, in whom God glorified himself, had an intimate relationship with him, a connection to him. And it is written that God assigned to all nations what they should worship, but the people of God worshipped the Lord, the living God, in spirit and in truth. Today, a telephone conversation also touched me a bit inwardly. A sister told me about her unbelieving mother who is ill and asked if I wanted to pray for her. I said, yes, of course. And during the conversation, she suddenly started crying and said, Brother Frank, my life isn't just up and down. I don't know if I'm really saved either. And that hit me again, like a bolt from the blue. First, it was about the unbelieving mother. And then, yes, and then, says a sister, who must have been a believer for many years, I don't know if I'm saved either. That can tear your heart apart. What good is hearing the word if people no longer experience God in reality? Then what's the point of preaching? What's the point of the meetings? It was like a stab through my heart. And I said to myself, or tell us all now, we don't believe any idea, any doctrine, anything that people have invented at some point, any religion that has been founded, any denomination, any fellowship, or whatever is on the religious market. We believe God. We believe God. And we have the right to every blessing, to every promise that He has given and promised. And this breakthrough of God to us and our breakthrough to God must come soon. We must have such a deep desire for God to really reveal himself, for the old man to be put off and the new man to be put on, so that God can glorify himself and we can approach him in a worthy manner, so that he can also draw near to us, that we can feel it, that we can experience it, that we can see it, that we can hear it, that the presence of God is not just something we talk about, but something that is revealed. And you all know that every word of God is pure truth, and the Lord has promised to be with us until the end of the world. And it is written, if the Lord is with us, who can be against us? Paul and all the men of God admitted, just as we do, that they were human. In one place, Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Through Christ, who strengthens me, I can do all things. It is not how strong we feel, but how far we can realize that we are totally inept, useless, helpless, and weak. But then look up to God in faith and say, Lord, here is a poor temple. Come in, fill it, and use us in a way that is pleasing to you. We are not people who can spiritually pull out trees, but are dependent on the Lord. But by faith, we want to honor God, not just with our lips, but really by faith, through faith that leads to God's actions, not by a faith that is blown away by the wind, but by a faith that connects us with God, through a faith that works in us an absolute trust in God. And that this trust in God simply triggers him to confirm his word and reveal himself in our midst and in our lives as he always has, that we could be, as Paul writes, living letters written out not with ink, but by the Spirit of God. I have sometimes expressed it here. The worst thing that could happen to a preacher of the Word of God would be that the people to whom he has preached do not reach the goal. Then all the effort would have been in vain. And when I think of all the sweat I have left behind while preaching, there is hardly anyone who has left so much sweat behind in some tropical climate during their work. That's not the point now. I would just like to emphasize one point, that God and God's Word must accomplish what is written in the Word, that the sermon does not die away, but brings about faith in us and trust in God. Who among us still expects God to reveal himself? We have to reckon with it. Who of us is satisfied with ourselves? Certainly, no one is satisfied with themselves. God doesn't want to make murmuring people out of us, no people who are satisfied with themselves, but people who hunger and thirst for God again and again. How are we doing in the earthly world? Do you think that if you have eaten a lot today, you won't be hungry tomorrow? It is always new. In the course of life, we eat and drink again and again in order to be able to exist on earth. It's the same in the spiritual. And in the earthly realm, we live in a time when there is more choice than ever before. It is the same in the spiritual. Never before has there been such a rich offer of God's Word and everything that goes with it, as in this day. But be open and honest about this. No matter how good the food is, the hunger will still come up again and again. We recently celebrated a wedding, and there was one feast after another. Well, and what happened the next day? Despite all the festivities and all the nice things that were on the table, the next day the hunger comes back again. That's how it is on earth. Should it be different in the spiritual? Even if God prepares a feast for us, and we are allowed to feast on the rich goods of his house, the next day, at the latest in the next meeting, there is a strong hunger, a great appetite, and we want to eat again. And that is why we come together. And our Lord says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I believe we all feel like praying, but to do so we need faith. Prayer without faith is talking past God. Anyone who wants to come to God must believe that He is there, that He is listening at that moment, that we are talking to Him, and that is why we talk to Him as we would talk to a friend, just as we are and just as our hearts feel. The passage here from Psalm 76 should once again go to our hearts. In Judah is God known, not just to some, not just to one house, known to all. Everywhere they knew who God was. They knew what He had done. Moses was commanded to tell the children and the children's children and the generations to come of all the great deeds that God had done. In the prophet Joel, it says the same thing, that the fathers will tell the children, and they will tell another generation. God was known, but that is not enough. God wants to be experienced He wants to reveal himself. He wants to meet each individual. And I'm convinced that all those who have heard about what God has done and believed it, a longing arose in them, O God. What do you have for me? How will you reveal yourself to me? I do not believe that it was enough for all Israel and their children's children to speak of what God had once done. Those with whom God has something in mind will not be satisfied with merely hearing what God has once done or what He has done to others. Those with whom God has plans will have a desire for Him to reveal Himself and for His blessings to come upon us. In Salem also is His tabernacle and His dwelling place in Zion. This was also the place where He settled accounts with His enemies and stood by His people as long as they walked in His ways. Verse 10 reads, when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. We know that in all the Psalms, not only the past and present are indicated, but also prophecy and the future. In verse 9 it says, Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. When we hear of judgment or speak in human terms, we would think that God arose to condemn. And here it says, to save all the meek of the earth. Then we think of the word, probably from Matthew 18. I don't know exactly at this moment, where it says, the Lord will help His elect who cry out to Him day and night, and that shortly. Verse 11 reads, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, when at last thou girdest thyself with flames of wrath. People will be angry, we all know that, and will come against the people of Israel. But then God will rise up, and then He will strike. And what then remains is what we can read in Ezekiel 38 and 39, in Revelation 19, and in many other places. What then remains when the wrath of God comes upon the people who have become angry? On that day, the wrath of men will be used to praise and glorify God. For it is literally written that He will glorify Himself on that day. I hope I can look it up somewhere. Ezekiel 39, from verse 17, and thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come Gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth. What will it be? I can also read it to you from chapter 38, from verse 22. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. God will show his greatness, his power, and his glory. What is written in Ezekiel 39, roughly the same wording is found in Revelation 19, especially about the birds that are to come and eat the blood of the mighty men on the day that the Lord will make. It says in chapter 19, from verse 17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and so forth. Verse 19. One hardly needs to read any further. In any case, we see the correspondence of the words of God, of the Old and New Testament, and even the sequence in Revelation 19 from verse 1 to verse 10, the description of the wedding feast in glory. Verse 1 says, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. In verse 6 we read, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God Omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. We can read on here too. I was only interested in the context. After the marriage supper, the Lord comes down from heaven with all those who have taken part in it. and then settles accounts with all the enemies. Out of his mouth, we read in verse 15, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. It is a marvelous thing to fall into the hands of God in the time of grace, but it will be a terrible thing to fall into the hands of God when the time of grace is over. Today, he is our Savior. Today is forgiveness. Today is salvation and eternal life. But when the time of grace is over, the mercy seat will turn into the judgment seat. Then he is no longer priest or mediator. Then he is judge and Lord. And from his presence the earth flees, and no place was found for it. Our God is a great God, a gracious God, and as long as he is to be found, we are to seek him. For the time is coming when men will knock, and the door will be shut, where men will seek and not find. Therefore it is written, seek the Lord while he may be found. This is also a very serious word that the prophet Isaiah utters in chapter 55, or wherever the chapter may be. And here, in Psalm 75, my eyes fell on a verse that also speaks of judgment. Verse 3. When I deem the time is come, then will I execute righteous judgment. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. I said unto the proud, don't be proud, and to the wicked, lift not up the head. Lift not up your head on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. Here we see where promotion comes from. It does not come from the rising of the sun. It does not come from the setting of the sun. It does not come from the wilderness. It comes from God. And God is the one who pronounces judgment. And God has pronounced it by pronouncing the punishment for all transgressions. And then letting our judgment fall on Jesus Christ, our Lord. According to the scripture, our punishment was laid on him, that we might have peace, and by his stripes we are healed. A glorious word of grace and salvation, as long as salvation and the time of grace lasts. But a terrible word of judgment and visitation in the wrath of God when the time of grace is over. Psalm 77, verse 7 says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? We see how these men of God dealt with what they felt inside, whether in despair, whether in praise, whether in worship, whether in prophecy, whatever. We can learn one thing from all the Psalms. In every situation in life, in every circumstance, the men of God have spoken to God. And when we realize this and take it to heart, we find the comfort and confidence that we too can talk to God in every circumstance, whatever may come or go. And we believe that we are not only talking to him, but that he is listening. This man of God here was thinking about singing, but now he didn't feel like singing. He was thinking about the Psalms, but he didn't feel like it. He says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. He didn't say, I sing. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Are we the only ones who ponder? Are we the only ones who introspect, who judge themselves, who think about how beautiful it was when instrumental music was played in many different ways? There were people before us who experienced the same thing, felt the same way, and that's the beauty of it. There was no prophet or man of God who stood above all things. Everyone walked this earth and felt what we feel. And then we have even the word from Hebrews 2, where it is written that our Lord had to become like us in all things in order to feel with us and then to be a faithful high priest to God. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? You can tell he was in distress. Here it went through the depths, but he knew where to turn. And he knew, my promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. It comes from the Lord God, who created heaven and earth. And if we take this to heart and say, Lord, you know me, you know us. We come to you in faith, opening ourselves before you and asking you to be gracious to us. He asks, is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? He was struggling inwardly. He was torn. He expressed it. It is the same with us. We are not ashamed to praise and glorify God when we feel like it. We are not ashamed to pour out our hearts, even if they are sometimes filled with inner distress, in order to come before the Lord God and to find His answer and help. He asks, has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? We realize from all these words what pain He has felt. It also says so in the very next verse. Then I said to myself, this grieves me grievously, that the rule of the Most High has changed. No, it hasn't changed. Only the circumstances are different. The ways of God go over heights and through depths. It says in one of the minor prophets, perhaps in Habakkuk, the way of the Lord is through adversity, and nobody can choose their own path. We have been set on this path. We can quarrel or not. We can be dissatisfied or whatever. We will not change the way God leads us. Blessed is the one who holds on to the Lord, and despite all the struggle and all the inner despair, has the blessed assurance deep inside that Jesus is mine, the blessed assurance that the end will be crowned with glory, and then everything else will be forgotten. Then I said to myself, as long as you say to yourself, it works. If you say it to others, you burden them. There are some things you should tell yourself, and others you could tell others. Of course, it would be best if we could tell others everything that serves as a common blessing, and what grieves us personally or burdens us, that we would say it to ourselves. But I believe that we all feel and are so connected to each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord, forming a divine unity, that we can freely say from our hearts what is in our hearts and lay everything before our God in faith, knowing that our help comes from Him, from the God who created heaven and earth. Even if the psalmist spoke in this way, it was only so that we all know that they were human and that they too had to go through depths, so that we receive comfort and do not despair in our situation, but cast our eyes on the Lord, are strengthened in faith, and say, Lord, You are our God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We trust You. We believe You. Our life belongs to You. In Judah is God known to all, from the first to the last. The only question is whether everyone has experienced Him. If we were to take this in general, then we could say, all the people in this land know about God. But what good is knowing about God if you do not love God, have not experienced God, have not tasted that the Lord is good? Nevertheless, we rejoice that God has made himself known to us, not just by hearsay, but from the experience we have had with him. May the Lord grant us prayers today that we send in faith to his throne of grace and prayers that he can hear and answer. Outwardly, age catches up with us all. We groan in this body, and the whole creation groans with us and waits for the manifestation of the children of God, for the transformation of our bodies. But one thing we know, it is coming. The hour is coming. That is as certain as God has said. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then all who have loved the coming of the Lord. That is a very beautiful word. Paul writes to Timothy, of the crown of life, which the righteous judge will give me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. There must be something in us that longs for his appearing, that loves his appearing. And may God work this in all of us by grace. Increase our faith and strengthen us, and work prayers in us that briefly point out the thing that the Lord is laying on our hearts, so that many of us can participate in the prayer. May the Lord bless us all. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, from our hearts we thank you for your precious and holy word, for your closeness, for your grace, for the salvation you have given us, for the revelation of your will in this time, beloved Lord. And now we long for every promise to come true and be fulfilled. You have worked and placed a justified hope and desire in us because you have spoken to us. Otherwise, we would be complacent like many others. But now we come to you and ask you, hear us, give us what you have promised us. We know that our answer does not depend on the rising or setting of the sun, but that it comes from you, the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Put an end to all circumstances that bind us, that hinder us, that stand in our way of moving forward with you in faith. Lord, humbly we confess that thy word is alive, that it has come to us, that it has brought about living faith in us, in you, the living God, so that you can bear witness to us and through us as the risen and living one. May you become known in our midst, in our city, in our country, throughout the whole earth. Lord my God, before you hold judgment, may you once more make an all-encompassing, generous offer of grace to humanity. And we ask you, Lord, let us have part when the harvest is brought in. We thank you for this evening, and we pray for all our dear brothers and sisters who could not be here, for all those who have already been mentioned by name and who have not yet been mentioned. Lord, we ask you to have your way with us all. Bless also the dear visitors from the GDR. Faithful Savior, may their coming not be in vain. Lord, may you be able to speak to them and also to us. Oh, we thank you that we may be in awe of you and your word. Men have nothing to say to us, for you alone are true, and every man is a hypocrite, a deceiver, a pious liar. But your mouth is eternal truth. For this we thank you. Thank you that we may place our trust in you, and that we may be taught by you. Once again, we pray for all those who have sent prayer requests, who have written, who have called. There is so much need among believers and unbelievers. Lord, we ask you to intervene and reveal your power and glory once again. To you be praise and honor, glory and worship, now and forever. Amen.